Hello, and welcome to another Faith Activators podcast with Paul Richardson.
Hey, Mike. Good to be with you again.
Yep. Good to be here and be able to talk about some of these themes from Paul's book, A Certain Risk. And today, Paul, I thought about maybe we can talk about this concept of what you call in your book assimilation.
Okay.
And I'll start off with a story. This week, my kids and I, you know, I really want them to have a value of just treasuring God's word in their heart. I really desire for them to, and I know that it's something that I can't just force on them, but it's something that has to be caught at one level. But I want them to just kind of see the treasure. So every morning we've been going through the book of Proverbs before they go off to school. And my oldest is 14, and my youngest is a year and a half. The year and a half old isn't part of these devotionals.
Oh, no.
but for the older three, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and my 9-year-old son kind of said, "Okay, you know, we're gonna do chapter 17, verse 11 through 20." I was like, "Oh, Dad." So I was just trying to think of a way for that value to be transferred. So we were reading, you know, we kind of read 10 verses of Proverbs a day, and then we ask them a question. What's interesting to you? What do they have a question about?
Yeah.
And it was one verse that came out about wisdom being more desirable than even gold.
Yeah, yeah.
So I asked them, if you guys could have a choice, you could have unlimited money or unlimited knowledge, what would you choose? You know, so you could have as much money, you could go anywhere, you could go to Disney World as many times as you wanted, you could have a huge flat screen TV as big as the wall to play video games on, or you could have, you know, wisdom, you could have unlimited wisdom, you know, you would always know the right thing to do. What would you want? And so they knew it was a trick question. Of course, they want to answer unlimited money. So we were talking about that, and then, you know, they kind of gave the right answer. They kind of knew, you know, they felt the Sunday schoolishness question of it coming down, and they sensed that from afar.
Yeah.
So they said, "Well, we want unlimited wisdom." And I said, "Well, I've got good news for you. It's right here." They were reading their Bibles, but I grabbed it and I put it in their lap. I said, "Here it is." "Too bad you didn't ask for unlimited gold, but you have unlimited wisdom." And you know, I didn't sense the value quite transferred. Kind of groaned. But I want them, you know, maybe let's go two directions. Let's talk about what you mean by assimilation. And then I want to also talk about how we can develop this value of treasuring God's word, of just it just breathing out of us almost automatically.
Well, this goes back to when I was 10 years old. My parents moved from, you know, the jungles of Indonesia to Pasadena, California. And I had this task every day of either walking or riding my bike or my skateboard through this really tough neighborhood, and on my way to school and back. And I was, you know, getting beat up and chased around. My lunch would be taken from me, my backpack. So one day I came home with a bloody lip and torn shirt, and so my dad had enough of that, and he said, "Okay, Paul, I'm going to take you down. We're going to get some karate lessons." So we went down to a karate dojo on Colorado Boulevard, and he signed me up, and so I started working with this sensei, and to this day, I remember his technique of teaching a martial art to me, and it was that I had to memorize a routine.
Okay.
It almost felt like, you know, these routines when you go on MTV and you see everybody's dancing together and they all do the same move at the same, you know.
Yeah,
the same,
and I'm sorry, Paul. I don't watch a lot of MTV, so I wouldn't.
VH1. So that's what I did for several months. Just started memorizing these things, you know, step, kick, punch, block. And every time I would do one, you know, it had to be done perfectly. perfect speed, perfect intensity, perfect, you know, grunts coming out of my
forms,
mouth.
They're called forms, right? You have to practice your forms?
Is yeah, so I went from, you know, from one to the next, and then, and this is without ever having any sort of sparring or competition with anybody else. And then after having practiced the forms, then after a few months of that, he put me in front of someone and we just started sparring. We just went at it. And suddenly all these moves just came out of me, you know, and they were just coming out of me subconsciously. They had become a part of who I was. They weren't something I had to think through. You know, they weren't something I had to memorize. They were my action and my response in the moment of a struggle. And that's what I mean when I talk about assimilation, is that the Word of God is entrusted to us and given to us to move to a deeper level in our souls than simply to be known about or to be understood in an intellectual way, but that the Word of God is meant to actually assimilate into our attitudes, into our words, into the way we see the world around us, into our conscious understanding of who God is, in the midst of our conversations and our decisions and moments of crisis and mystery. It's that the Word of God, through years of reading God's Word and memorizing God's Word and discussing God's Word, you know, I believe that it's meant to sink deeper and deeper within us so that in moments of struggle and crisis, it's the Word of God that springs to life and becomes living and active, like it says in Hebrews 4:12, inside us, and just springing out of our mouths, telling us what to say in certain moments, you know, words of encouragement or whatever it needs to be. But that's the focus of that chapter, is assimilating God's Word so that it becomes who we are, not just what we know.
Well, I love a phrase out of that chapter, a sentence where you say, in times of crisis, our souls show up really quickly. And I was wondering, maybe from your own life, can you think of an example of that, of where having God's Word in your heart was able in the moment to come out the right kind of response? Because like you're saying, you know, you know, whatever, we're like cups, whatever we're filled up with is going to splash out in times of crisis. If I've got all this bitterness and anger, someone bumps against me, that's going to splash out.
Yeah.
If I've assimilated God's Word in my heart, I've treasured it, I've kept it, I've guarded it, then it seems like the right kind of stuff is going to splash out onto the world. Can you give us an example from your life where that's happened?
Well, let me just say this, because and I want to communicate this really carefully. It would be easy for me to answer your question by reaching for an example.
Okay.
When I reached for a Bible verse that I had memorized, and I brought it out and shared that verse with someone in the moment that they needed it. All right? And that's happened.
And that's a pretty common way of us to think about
that. That's beautiful. That's wonderful if we know God's Word to that extent. But what I'm struggling for in my life and dreaming about is, and writing about in this chapter, even goes beyond that, where the courage of David, who stands up in the midst of a crowd and defies, you know, his older brothers and all the expectations and the fear that had just saturated those people, and he just rises up and to stand in defense of the honor of his God, he steps forward into danger to confront a problem. And this and so you know, as a child, you read about this, and David becomes our hero, And you know, and we hear about it in Sunday school class, and we, mm-hmm. we hear the story over and over again with the five stones and the slingshot. But we can just spend our whole lives knowing that, knowing the story, being able to articulate the story. But I believe that that story is there in the scripture, not so that we would know the story and be able to tell it, but so that when the crowd is mired in apathy and the majority of people are living in fear and refusing to rise up to confront a crisis or a problem that is, you know, rising against them, that what it means that the Logos, the Word of God, burns within us is that we actually rise up with the courage of David to respond to that problem. And so
I love that.
Yeah.
You come at me with sword and stone, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hmm. Once again, I've botched a Bible verse. It's close.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's just so many. You know, of course.
I love that.
Cover to cover, the Bible is just filled with.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking of a quote I read this morning out of an article from a perspectives course, and it said that people have understood the kingdom of God, our job in the kingdom of God is explaining evil instead of overcoming evil. You know, where we have everything in Christianity, it just seems like there's this, the default mode, the inertia, that where it drifts to is just intellectual thought. It's not really engaged, and it doesn't require a lot out of us. It's just thinking the right thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're describing a reality as having the Word of God in us that rises up against those challenges. And I love that. You know, and as you're talking, I'm kind of grasping for, okay, what does that look like in my life?
Right.
You know, and what would that look like if you know, for me to have the Logos in me just burning in me, where it just comes, more than just quoting the right Bible verse at the right time, but
yeah,
something that's coming out of me. Any thoughts on that?
We just had a guest here for a few weeks, and he was out in Borneo for a bit. He's a doctor, and so he was asked to carry back a few cards and letters and things like that with him to go take back to the States. You know, so he arrived in the Seattle airport, and he was asked, when he came in through customs in Seattle, is there anything in your bags that you yourself didn't pack? You know? So,
sure.
And I got to be honest with you. If that were me, I would take the easy way out. You know, I would just say no and I would keep moving.
Uh-huh.
But incredibly, this man, you know, knowing that he could be spending a couple hours in that airport with his bags being searched, he said, yeah, there happens to be a bag in my bag that was given to me by some friends, and I didn't see it being packed.
Wow.
So he spent 2 hours in the airport. Now, this is it's shocking to me. It's a standard, a love for truth that goes beyond my own personal level of integrity. But it inspires me that somebody would actually go to that extent to live for truth and to love truth. And so, you know, Jesus said that the truth will set you free. So I know that verse. I know it intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
This person lives it.
Mm, that's good.
He has assimilated that verse into his life, and he believes it. He believes that the truth will set him free, even if in the moment he has to wait for 2 hours while his bags are getting searched.
That's so good. Man, that's so good. Well, I was thinking as you're talking of, I told you, so with my kids, I'm going through the book of Proverbs. We're just about halfway through now. And, you know, so the theme over and over is just the difference between the wise man and the fool. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm having conflict with my wife this week. And basically, I'm just not wanting to hear what she's saying. I'm wanting to win an argument. I'm wanting to win this battle, you know, through my superior logic. Uh-huh. And then as I'm doing that, I'm just delighting in airing my own opinions, which Proverbs says, you know, there's more hope for a fool than a man who does that. And so as I'm talking, you know, I just feel haunted by these verses of, you're being foolish right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, you are being foolish. And just over and over, you know, you can read it in the comfort of your quiet time or family devotional, and it just, oh, that's, you know, a good word for the day, good little tip. But in the moment of a battle, in that crisis, I just felt the Holy Spirit just saying, you're being a fool right now.
Uh-huh.
And to shut my mouth and to listen to my wife. And maybe... Yeah. Maybe instead of trying to score a direct hit, listen to what she's saying and hear her heart.
Yeah.
And I felt a breakthrough. We were able to overcome the conflict. And I just said, thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of Solomon. You know, just this guy wrote this amazing treaty on wisdom so many thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
And, so I don't know. That, to me, that motivates me.
Yeah.
Because we don't, in the time of crisis, we don't have the luxury of stopping and thinking about what we're going to do, but it just happens right then. So, I don't know, that just motivates me to assimilate it more in my life.
And you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes that the Word of God, you know, is the sword of the Spirit. And again, there's a phrase we've heard since we were in Sunday school, but the image of the Holy Spirit holding a sword, all right, or being, you know, if you contrast that with the Holy Spirit with empty hands. And so when we are filled with the Holy Spirit but we do not have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within us with empty hands. But when the Holy Spirit lives within us and we have the sword of the Spirit within us, He works within us, and bring the Spirit of God together with His Word, and that's a powerful combination within us, and that's what changes the world. That's what affects the world around us and sets us free to be voices of hope.
That's so good. That's so good, Paul. I'm going to read this verse out of John 15.
Sure.
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time hearing a teaching on this, that word remain, that it's a real active word. It's the same word that was used. It's to guard, to keep. Like some versions would say, he who keeps my words, whatever you wish will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. But it's a real active, like the same word that a prison guard would guard a prisoner to make sure it doesn't escape. Keeping God's word is a real active, like just treasuring it, guarding it, so that you, and if that's happening in your life, then whatever, God's going to give you whatever you ask. It's because your desires are going to be His desires, and it's going to be to His glory. And we're going to bear much fruit. And I think all of us want to bear fruit, much fruit. All of us want to have a life of impact. Yet we can't just go out with our good ideas and half-baked opinions and really make a dent in the world.
Yeah.
I think there's that sense in which the Word of God has got to be living in us. It's got to be assimilated in us. We've got to go through the karate class and learn the forms so that we can have an impact in the world.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, the concept of assimilation and burying the Word of God within us so that in moments of crisis and mystery and in the face of challenges, the Word of God emerges from within us. We're not talking here about simply physical, you know, natural things. We're talking about miracles. There's something supernatural that takes place within us, where there is genuine spiritual power that emerges from within us when we assimilate the Word of God into our souls and where it becomes a part of us, and that Word of God, the Logos, is in us. It's powerful. It's living and active, and the world changes. Amazing things happen that we cannot explain. And things come out of our mouths that somehow speak to people in ways that shock them. Or when they say, "How did you know that?" You know, or "That's exactly what I was crying out to God for this morning and asking God to help me with that. And you just said exactly what I needed to hear." And so, you know, we have these experiences, and they're not coincidences. These are the experiences that people begin to experience regularly when they're assimilating God's word and going beyond simply reading and memorizing, but where God's word is alive inside of us.
That's good. Well, let's close with a prayer for our listeners, and we pray for you that the word of God would dwell richly in you. That you would keep God's word, that you would guard it as a soldier would guard a dangerous prisoner, that yes. You would guard it and just hang on to it and not let it go, that you would bear much fruit, you would remain in Christ, and that His words would remain in you, that you would ask whatever you wish and it would be given to you, and this would all be to our Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourself to be Christ's disciples.
Yes, Father, I just pray for a person who's listening to this brief conversation between Mike and myself at this moment. And I just pray that in this moment you would just awaken a fresh, exciting, and new passion for your word in that person's heart. And Father, may they reach out for your word. May they begin the process of disciplining themselves, of opening the pages of Scripture, of reading, of meditating on those words day and night, of memorizing those words, of assimilating those words into that person's life, so that they become living and active and dwell within that person and rise up and strengthen that person and become that person's wisdom and power and love in the moments that person encounters in their future. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving your word. Thank you for the power in your word. And thank you that your word changes circumstances. Your word brings hope. Your word brings life. Your word changes the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I want to just once again add, if you've enjoyed this topic, Paul's got a great chapter on assimilation in his book, A Certain Risk. It's really good stuff. It's gold refined in the fire, I believe, this chapter. It will really challenge and inspire you more than just ought to, more than just, yeah, I really should read the Bible more, but the sense of passion, the sense of desire, of just guarding, keeping God's word assimilated into your life, it's all in there. It's a great chapter. So I'd encourage you to get the book. You can go to any major online source, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or you can get it directly from Zondervan. You could get it from, you can follow a link on this website, Faith Activators. But read it and absorb it, and we pray that these principles would change your life. Thanks for listening.